Chapter 31. How many are there left? Half, perhaps, I do not know. Half my men gone. All night I heard their ponies galloping away, and the crack and rumble of their wagons, and I could not hold them. Jan Polus stared up at the mountain in the dawn. Spionkop. He mouthed the name with loathing. But its outline was blurred, for his eyes could not focus. They were rimmed with angry red, and in each corner was a lump of yellow mucus. His body seemed to have shrunk, dried out like that of an ancient mummy. He slumped wearily in the saddle. Every muscle and nerve in his body screamed for rest. To sleep a while, oh, God, to sleep! With a dozen of his loyal commandants, he had tried all night to staunch the dribble of deserters that was bleeding his army to death. He had ridden from lager to lager, blustering, pleading, trying to shame them. With many he had succeeded, but with many he had not. And once he had himself been shamed. He remembered the old man with the long white beard straggling from his yellow, wizened face, his eyes glistening with tears in the firelight. 3 sons I have given you today, Jan Polus Larue. My brothers have gone up your accursed mountain to beg for their bodies from the English. 3 sons, 3 fine sons. What more do you want from me? From where he sat against the wheel of his wagon, the old man struggled to his feet, hugging the blanket around his shoulders. You call me coward, Larue. You say I am afraid. He stopped and struggled with his breathing. And when he went on, his voice was a croak. I am 78 years old, and you are the first man to ever, ever call me that. If God is merciful, you will be the last. He stopped again. 78 years. 78. And you call me that? Look, Larue, look well. He let the blanket fall away, and Jan Polus stiffened in the saddle as he saw the bloody mess of bandages that swathed the old man's chest. Tomorrow morning I will be with my sons. I wait for them now. Write on our grave, Larue. Write, cowards, on our grave. And through the old lips burst a froth of pink bubbles. Now with red eyes, Jan Polus stared up at the mountain. The lines of fatigue and shame and defeat were etched deep inside his nostrils and around his mouth. When the mists cleared, they would see the English on the crest, and with half his men he would go back. He touched the pony with his spurs and started him up the slope. The sun gilded the mountain mist. It swirled golden and began to dissipate. Faintly, on the morning wind, he heard the cheering, and he frowned. The English cheer too soon, he thought. Do they think we will not come again? He urged his pony upward, but as it scrambled over loose rock and scree, he reeled drunkenly in the saddle and was forced to cling to the pommel. The volume of cheering mounted, and he peered uncomprehendingly at the crest above him. The skyline was dotted with figures who danced and waved their hats, and suddenly there were voices all around him. They've gone, the mountain is ours, we've won, praise God, we've won, the English have gone. Men crowded his pony and dragged him from the saddle. He felt his legs buckle under him, but rough hands were there to support him, and half dragging, half carrying him, they bore him up towards the peak. Jan Polus sat upon a boulder and watched them harvest the rich crop of battle. He could not sleep yet, not until this was done. He had allowed the English stretcher-bearers to come up his mountain, and they were at work along the trench while his own burghers gleaned their dead from along the crest. 4 of them approached Jan Polus, each holding the corner of a grey woolen blanket as though it were a hammock. They staggered under the load until they reached the neat line of corpses already laid out on the grass. "Who knows this man?" one of them called, but there was no reply from the group of silent men who waited with Jan Polus. They lifted the body out of the blanket and laid it with the others. One of the burghers who had carried him removed from his clutching dead fingers a wide Terai hat and placed it over his face. Then he straightened and asked, "Who claims him?" Unless a friend or a kinsman claimed the corpse, it would be buried in a communal grave. Jan Polus stood up and walked across to stand over the body. He lifted the hat and replaced it with the Homburg from his own head. "Yeah, I claim him," he said heavily. "Is he kin or friend, Umpol?" "He is a friend." What is his name? I do not know his name. He is just a friend.